first episode of the Jump the Cage MMA podcast. I'm your host, Dean DeRoach. This is a podcast that I'm starting because I'm trying to find my voice as a broadcaster. I'm currently in school for broadcasting, and I've never had experience behind a microphone other than calling the basketball games at my high school about 12 years ago. Just a little background on me. I was in the military for 11 years, decided to separate so that I could pursue my degree in broadcasting. I'm very passionate about sports, specifically mixed martial arts, and even more in-depth, UFC. A lot of people want to say that they want to be the next Joe Rogan calling the fights, or they want to be like Ariel Helwani, John Anik. And while I do respect those people, I do want to bring my own voice to this, but I will use their opinions from time to time, especially on this first episode when I'm still trying to get my feet wet. I also believe this is the perfect time to get started with a podcast specifically related to mixed martial arts and the UFC in general. There's some big things going on. The drug testing that just came down, lots to talk about there. I know it's probably been talked about elsewhere, but it's always fun to have a new opinion, maybe the same opinion as other people. Also, this Reebok deal, that the closer we get, this is going to be even bigger. You're going to hear about it more and more from all the fighters, from all the analysts, and from the fans as well, because it is going to affect us having to listen to the fighters. And honestly, it's getting old. But that's not going to be about today's podcast. I have another topic lined up. Also on this podcast, I want to use it to be able to recap past events, especially from the weekend before. So in this case, we have the UFC Fight Night in New Orleans, which from top to bottom was a great card. Not a lot of known fighters on there, but if you are an MMA fan, you definitely were excited to watch that card. 10 out of the 12 fights were finishes. How often does that happen? Only two times did the judges have to make a decision. Sticking with just the main card, because it would be difficult to go over the prelims as well, although I do want to give lots of credit to Sean Jordan being on that prelim, pretty much just earning that performance of the night bonus with that super kick he delivered. Just unbelievable. Nobody saw that coming, and it was pretty awesome. First fight on the main card, though, we did see Francisco Rivera knock out Justin Edwards, and I'm not going to lie, I didn't get to see that fight. My cable was out, and I didn't have access to the computer to watch it on Fox Sports Go, so I did miss that fight. But after that, I did see all the other fights, including starting with Anthony Berchek knocking out Joe Soto. Joe Soto had a lot of hype behind him. I feel like a lot of people were expecting him to be back in title contention within the next year, maybe 2 years. He did get his title shot early against TJ Dillashaw because he had a fill-in for Henan Barão, but he didn't really impress me, and obviously Anthony Berchek exposed that. I did like, after the fight, Berchek calling out Dillashaw, but we know he's got a few more fights ahead of him before he's going to get there. There's a lot of talent in that bantamweight division. The fight after that, we saw Brian Ortega get the TKO victory over Thiago Tavares. That was an awesome fight. For those that saw it, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. These guys went to war. Thiago Tavares took a beating. You saw it all over his face. The big gash that the doctor had to check in the middle of it. There was a moment there that I could have sworn I heard the doctor say stop, and I got real nervous because I didn't want that fight to stop, and luckily it was something that I just heard wrong and they kept the fight going. But Ortega did come out victorious. We had the lightweight bout that turned into a catchweight bout between Dustin Poirier and Yancy Medeiros. Dustin Poirier is looking really good at 155. I expect big things from him. I want to see him fight a top 10. Even a top 15 will be okay. I already saw out there on Twitter people looking for him to fight the winner of Bobby Green versus Al Iaquinta. I think that'd be a great fight. I think that would be a great test. And from there, I mean, he really could make some noise in this lightweight division. Heavyweight, Ben Rothwell choking out Matt Mitrione. Who saw that coming? I didn't know how that fight was going to go. I thought Mitrione was going to be able to get to maybe goad him into boxing a little bit more, but Rothwell just stayed calm. He stayed ready, and for whatever reason, Mitrione decided, oh, I'm going to shoot on this guy, and as soon as he did, he exposed his neck, and Rothwell just took full advantage and choked him out. It was such a quick tap, the ref wasn't expecting it. I felt bad for Mitrione as much as I saw him tapping, but he admitted afterwards, you could just see him mouthing the words on camera, stupid. He knew it was a stupid mistake. He'll bounce back from that. And then finally, the main event was probably the biggest shock of the night with Dan Henderson knocking out Tim Boetsch. Not that Tim Boetsch is some great middleweight that's going to be challenging Chris Weidman anytime soon, but before the fight, everyone's talking about Dan Henderson needing to retire. Dan Henderson needs to retire. He's too old. He's off TRT. What is he going to be able to do anymore? Well, he did it. He went out there and he knocked out Tim Boetsch very convincingly. It wasn't just some fluke shot that he landed. That was an H-bomb that he's delivered time and time again. Do I want to see him continue? Yes. I mean, if his next fight he goes out there and gets knocked out, okay. But I say screw it. You know, if he wants to go out there and he wants to fight out his contract, let him do it. As long as he's not going out there taking beating after beating, and obviously he did not take much of a punishment from Tim Boetsch in that fight, let him go out there, make some money, and hopefully when it's all said and done, he will have a final fight that he knows is his finals fight, and he'll be able to speak from the heart, just like we got to see Mark Munoz do a few events ago, which I thought was great. But UFC Fight Night New Orleans, that was a great card. The only problem I had with that card was the pacing. If you looked at it, the main card, those fights took a total of 20 minutes of actual fight time. 20 minutes, give or take. It may be a minute or so, but I didn't go through and do the math. Sorry. It is the first episode, so I hope to be getting better at this stuff as we go. But 20 minutes, and it lasted all the way until midnight. And I get it. They're on Fox Sports 1. They have to make their commercial money. They have to drag this out. We see with all the other sports that they don't want to lose the advertising money. Totally get it. What this leads me to, though, is my main topic for today, and that is the UFC event start times. The main event for Fox Sports 1 and the pay-per-views, the main card, doesn't start until 10 o'clock Eastern time. Okay? That is 9 o'clock Central, 8 Mountain, 7 Pacific. And everyone wants to talk about, well, you know, we want to be able to see the fights, and we don't want to have to watch them at 5 o'clock at night just because we live on the West Coast. Hey, I get that, but are you asking people that live on the West Coast about that? Because I lived in Pacific Standard Time, Pacific Daylight Time for a while, and I always enjoyed having the UFC fights done and then getting to go out with my friends afterwards. Got to watch a great fight, great night of cards, and it was awesome, but now let's go out. It didn't ruin our night. Ariel Helwani was talking about this on the MMA Hour the other day, that being a UFC fan is almost like being a fan of a West Coast team that lives in the East. You have to stay up late to watch your favorite team play. And when he said that, man, that just set something off inside me, because I've always thought it, but he just put it perfectly into words. So I want to give Ariel Helwani credit for that analogy, because it was a really good one. I will stay up and watch the fights. I will. But the next morning, I feel it. And it may be because I'm 30 years old and I don't stay up like I used to. But at the same time, if it was ending at 11 o'clock, midnight, depending on what your start time is, maybe you're going to build your audience a little bit more. So I think it's something that the UFC needs to look into again. For those of you that don't remember, back in 2011, starting with UFC 129, George St. Pierre versus Jake Shields, they started the main card at 9 o'clock because they were trying to draw more people in. Now, this was in April of 2011, before Fox. They were still on Spike. There was still some uncertainty where they were going to be airing after that. But they started it. They kept it going. Now, here's a kind of a rundown of some of the main events that we saw on the pay-per-views in 2011 after they moved it to a 9 o'clock start time. So you had GSP versus Jake Shields. We all know that was a big fight card. They loaded it, broke records, North American records, all that. Awesome. Great way to start it. Then your next pay-per-view is Rampage Jackson versus Matt Hamill. Who the hell wants to watch that for a main? Who wants to pay for that main event pay-per-view? I'm sorry, but I'm a big UFC fan. I didn't watch it. After that, you had Junior Dos Santos versus Shane Carwin. Pretty good main event. But kind of lacked that card, if you looked at it, kind of lacked a little firepower, at least name power. After that, you had Dominic Cruz versus Uriah Faber. Great main event, great fight. After that, Rashad Evans versus Tito Ortiz. Again, good names, going to draw people in, but it didn't. Anderson Silva versus Yushin Okami. We all knew what was going to happen in that fight. Yushin Okami didn't stand a chance. Even if he had been training with Jail Sonnen, he did not have a chance. John Jones versus Rampage Jackson. You think you have the name power looking back on it now, but you guys have to remember that John Jones was not John Jones when he fought Rampage Jackson. He was still the up-and-comer. And yeah, everyone thought that he was going to beat Rampage, but it wouldn't have surprised anybody if Rampage caught him and took that belt. Then you had Dominic Cruz versus Demetrius Johnson, which today, yeah, I'd watch that fight. I watched it back then. I thought it was a good fight. But they're not names. Who's going to buy these pay-per-views? And then the last one finished it up. This was the last one. They already made the decision before that they were going to go back, but this was the last one. It was BJ Penn versus Nick Diaz. It was originally supposed to be GSP versus Nick Diaz, but injuries and such and all that. So BJ Penn versus Nick Diaz. And so that's pretty much a rundown of the main pay-per-view, the main events for 2011 that the UFC was starting times at 9 o'clock. After that BJ Penn, Nick Diaz fight, they decided, or before that, I'm sorry, they decided, we're not making enough money off this. We're losing viewers. Well, no, you're not. You can't directly correlate the loss of pay-per-view numbers to the start time. Because the main cards, the pay-per-views, they weren't bringing names. So how do you expect people to buy that? We're seeing that recently. If you don't put names on there, nobody's going to buy that pay-per-view. It's something that we're watching Demetrius Johnson run into because they keep trying to make him the main event, and he's still just not breaking through to the mainstream. So they're just getting their regular MMA fans that want to see these fights. It's not Demetrius' fault. By all means, he is a terrific fighter, and I'm not saying otherwise. But if you're not giving fans the names to draw them in, then what do you expect from them? Also with this, you have to remember that like a main event like Dominic Cruz versus Uriah Faber sounds great, especially now in 2015. But this was back when the bantamweights were still pretty brand new. So diehards who hadn't been watching WEC, they don't know who these guys are. And they're like, why are they main eventing a UFC card? These guys are just little guys. They're not going to knock each other out. What I'm saying is 4 years ago, the lower weight classes weren't established. People didn't know what to expect from them. So they just said, nah, I'm not going to bother with that. I'll stick with my bigger guys. 155 is as low as I'm going. So that's why a pay-per-view like Cruz versus Faber is not going to do too well with buys because their names weren't much. And the same thing with Dominic Cruz versus Demetrius Johnson. If you made a pay-per-view right now, and I'm going to substitute Cruz with Dillashaw because he is the current bantamweight champion, and you put him up against Demetrius Johnson, title against title, however you want to do it, flyweight, bantamweight, that's going to be a draw now because people are recognizing that the smaller fighters can fight. They're very entertaining. These guys don't stop. They have that endless motor. Okay, so just something to think about when we look at this. 2011, from March to October, this is when John Jones, like I said, was not John Jones. He had just earned the title in March. You didn't have Ronda Rousey. You put Ronda Rousey on a pay-per-view card that starts at 8 o'clock. I don't care who you are. People are going to be tuning into it. She's too big of a star. The same thing with this UFC 189 coming up. Jose Aldo versus Conor McGregor. Start that main card at 8 o'clock and tell me if you don't make your 2 million buys that you think you're going to make. I think 2 million is a little bit high, but let's humor them a little bit. That pay-per-view is going to do big no matter what time it's on. You can put it on at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's going to be big. But it's just something I think the UFC, they're alienating their East Coast fan base in favor of their West Coast fan base. You look at the other sports. They don't start at a specific time all the time. Okay? Let me take that back. Major League Baseball. Your team's playing in New York against the Anaheim Angels. That game's starting at 7:05. If they're playing in Anaheim, same teams, it's starting at 7:05 Pacific time because they're playing in the home team's location. I get that. Maybe the UFC could look into doing something like that if you hold an event in Newark, New Jersey, or maybe even this year, maybe we might see it, New York City, you start it like you're starting an event in the Eastern Standard Time. If not, if you're doing it in Vegas, okay, then I guess we just have to deal. But I think once New York opens, and this can be a topic for another day, New York is going to be a main venue as much as Las Vegas is. They're going to make so much money once they get into New York. Again, we can talk about that hopefully soon in the next couple weeks when we get a ruling on that one. But with football, and this is the best example I can think of. When I lived in Las Vegas, I woke up on a Sunday morning, and at 10 o'clock is when the first football game kicked off, because they start football 1 o'clock and 4:15 Eastern Standard Time. I didn't complain. I enjoyed it. 10 o'clock in the morning, football, great. I'm over at my buddy's house. We're having a great time. The late game starts at 4 in the afternoon. So you have that whole day, and then you still have the whole night to just enjoy. The UFC needs to look at that. What are people in on the West Coast going to enjoy? Do they want their main card to start at 7 in the evening, or would they prefer it to start at 6 in the evening and end at 9 o'clock, and then they can still go out? I understand that there's people that, oh, well, we want to be able them to go to their bars and everything like that. Nobody wants to go to a bar at 5 o'clock at night, okay? What about your fans that have been with you for a long time? They're getting older, and I know that you're still trying to just stay with your 18 to 30-year-old demographic, but then you're just going to alienate all the other people. You can't please everybody. I totally get that. But the 10 o'clock main card start time, it's run its course. And there's a reason why they don't start the main Fox, the big Fox shows, at 10 o'clock, because they're trying to corner that primetime market. So why not do that with pay-per-views? Why not try and steal it? Take the 8 o'clock from ESPN when you're on Fox Sports 1. Take it from them when you're on pay-per-view. Make your money. Be the most interesting product out there and take it. You don't have to compete with football. You don't have to compete with baseball, because, let's be honest, baseball is just on pretty much a niche market now. If you start at 8 o'clock, even 9 o'clock, if they went back to that 9 o'clock thing, your main events are still ending at midnight, 12:30, and then you get your post-fight show, and then it's just going to keep building up. It's something that I think Fox Sports needs to get into Dana's ear, needs to get into Lorenzo Fertitta's ear, and just tell him, listen, these are the numbers we pull when you guys are on Big Fox, and we're trying to get Fox Sports 1 as legitimate as ESPN. We're all very young in this game. UFC is not the NFL. They're not Major League Baseball, been around for these decades. Fox Sports 1 is still trying to break through with trying to break into that ESPN territory. And we all know that ESPN, they don't call themselves a worldwide leader in sports for no reason. But be competitive. I can go on and on about this. It's just one of those things that I would love to see change as an MMA fan. Is it going to be something that keeps me from watching? Absolutely not. I enjoy the sport. I enjoy seeing two fighters, male, female, doesn't matter, go out there and put on a show. And I was very fortunate that I got to watch the UFC Fight Night New Orleans. But imagine if this main card had started at 8 o'clock in the East. People are flipping through their channels, 8 o'clock at night, and they watch Francisco Rivera knock out Justin Edwards right off the bat. This is pretty interesting stuff right here. Let's see what happens next. Anthony Berchek knocking out Joe Soto. Wow, another knockout too. You don't see that very often. So they're hooked. Then by an hour later, they're watching Brian Ortega TKO Thiago Tavares, which right there, they're going to be just on it. So I've had plenty of my friends, family members, just be like, what am I watching here on Big Fox? Because they were just flipping through and they just noticed, oh, look at this. This is interesting. And then just watch this amazing fight. And it's just hooked. But those same friends, they're not flipping through the channels at 10 o'clock. They've already established what they're watching. They're either watching a movie on a Saturday night. They've gone out for the night. They don't know what they're watching. 8 o'clock, you can still grab some new fans and keep building this sport up. If this sport wants to be as legitimate as they want to be, they want to have this big sponsorship deal. They want to be seen as the NFL, but they don't. Then they need to expand themselves to a point that their start times almost coincide with what the major sports do. And this is only for North American events. I'm not going to go out there and say, hey, when you're in Australia or when you're in England or Abu Dhabi or wherever you're at, that you need to be starting 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time because that's when you're going to get your best views. No, I totally get what those cards are for. When they're in Poland, that is a card for the country of Poland. And as a UFC fan, I'm just fortunate enough to see it on Fight Pass. So whatever time it's on, if I want to watch that fight card, then I'm gonna have to wake up and watch that fight card. I get it. But when you're in North America, when you're on that time zone, and even when they're in South America and Brazil and everything, then I believe that they need to make it the most accommodating to that audience. So that is my 2 cents on the UFC main card start times. I know that would push all the prelims back and all that fun stuff. Fight Pass prelims, which I think eventually are going to go away. As they get bigger, they're not going to be able to maintain having so many fights per card. And because as we've seen, we see injuries happen all the time. And yeah, it's always good to have 12, 13 fights on a card, especially when one drops out, just like this New Orleans one. What was our main event supposed to be? Daniel Cormier versus Ryan Bader. Obviously, that got pulled, and they were able to just keep on pressing with Hendo versus Boach. But I think that the Fight Pass prelims, I think they're eventually they're going to have to shrink their fight cards down a little bit. The biggest thing I don't ever want to see MMA do is go down boxing's path. I think boxing, I respect it as a sport, but I tried watching that Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. I got bored, man. I want to see knockouts. I want to see submissions. I can't get into boxing the same way I can. I think it's because I was an MMA fan first, and I'm just so used to seeing fighters get into grapple and get tangled up, whereas in boxing, they were just stopping the fight every 2 minutes. Every time they would hug each other, it's like, oh, break it up. I can't get into it. I think MMA may have ruined boxing for me, to be honest with you. How funny is that? So, all that being said, that's just my opening rant. I may have a lot of people that disagree with me. I may have people that agree with me, but for their own reasons. Whatever it is, that's fine. This just had to be my first podcast, my first topic. Obviously not well researched. I think I did enough research to be able to at least know that they back in 4 years ago they tried this. It didn't work out well, but I think I found a reason why it didn't work out well. It's not because people weren't interested in the product. It's because you weren't giving us main events that were worthy of our money. So I would like to see them do that again. If nothing else, I'll just be happy when I get my big Fox cards that do start at 8 o'clock. I'm very excited for what's coming up in July. TJ Dillashaw versus Henan Barao on Big Fox for the belt. Very exciting stuff. I think you're going to get a lot of people tuning into that wouldn't normally watch mixed martial arts, but they will. Because they see, ooh, a belt. You see that advertised during the All-Star game or the lead-up for the All-Star game on MLB on Saturday. There's a title fight. I don't know who these two guys are, but they're fighting for a title. And for all the MMA fans out there that don't want the sport to go mainstream, it's going to happen. This is not going to be your sport forever. It's going to get out there. It's either going to die or it's going to get mainstream. There is no more just waiting in the middle. My next podcast, I'll probably talk about the Reebok deal and how I think it's a great deal. I could go on this right now. $70 million does not seem like a lot, but it's the first time they're doing it. The Fox Sports 1 deal, they're going to get more money for their next TV deal as long as they keep their numbers up. They're going to get more money for their next sponsorship deal, whether it's with Reebok or Nike or Under Armour or somebody else, as long as they can show that they're making money. So this is just the beginning. This sport isn't even into its 30s yet. You look at all the other sports that have been around for years. So I can talk all about that, but I feel like I've been long-winded enough. Which is very difficult with the podcast because it is just me on here. Obviously, nobody to interview, nobody around me to talk with. Just doing it all on my own. So, like I said at the beginning of the show, this is a great stretch to be an MMA fan. We're getting all these great fight cards, these great events coming up. We just got over UFC Fight Night New Orleans, and we're leading right in. We're already back into fight week for UFC 188, which in Mexico City, which I think is going to be a great card. You have Cain Velasquez finally coming back, and I hate to even say it because I swear to God, if he gets injured again, I don't ever want to see him hold the belt. But we're only 4 days away, so what are the odds of him actually getting injured again, right? He's going to be facing off against the interim champ, Fabricio Werdum. And I think that Cain Velasquez, this, by the way, guys, this is when I'm going to be doing my UFC 188 picks. I'm not doing it for the whole card because there's a lot of fighters on that card that I don't even know because they're focusing mainly on having Mexican fighters on there that aren't as big. So I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and be like, oh, I know exactly who this guy is. I stuck with the top three fights on this card because it's just easier. And honestly, it's probably something that I'll just do in the future because unless it's just a big fight that's on the prelims, like when they have Uriah Faber, who likes to be the quote-unquote main event of the prelims, then I'm not going to pick it. Because it's just, honestly, you can't tell with these guys. There's no track records for some of them. But I'm not even going to go with the championship fight first. That's silly. Let me start with Kelvin Gastelum versus Nate Marquardt. Let's be honest here. Kelvin Gastelum is going to roll over Nate Marquardt. Nate Marquardt has no business being in the UFC anymore. I don't even know why they brought him back. He left. They cut him. He left. Somehow became the Strikeforce welterweight champ. And they're like, he's the Strikeforce welterweight champ. Then he lost it to Saffedine, but they still let him come back. Now he's back at middleweight. Why? He went down to welterweight so that he'd have an advantage. Yeah, you won it over in Strikeforce, but you knew you had no business hanging with the welterweights here in the UFC, so you went back to middleweight where you feel at least more comfortable and not as drained. Nate Marquardt is going to get steamrolled by Kelvin Gastelum. Kelvin Gastelum is just using this as a stepping stone because he wants to get back to the welterweight division. I think that if he makes it look easy against Nate Marquardt, has a good weight cut, Dana White and Fertitta will be like, okay, you learned your lesson. Stick with Mike Dolce and make weight for welterweight, you idiot. But yes, Gastelum is going to beat Nate Marquardt, and it won't even be surprising. If Nate can make it competitive, then good for him, but I think Gastelum is just too good. I think that within the next couple of years, you're going to see him near the top fighting for at least for a number one contendership for that welterweight belt. The lightweight match between Eddie Alvarez and Gilbert Melendez. This is a match that's been years in the making since Gilbert was with Strikeforce. Alvarez was with Bellator. They almost had it done, but obviously trying to do cross promotion, that's going to be very difficult, and it never came to fruition. But I think I'm going to pick Eddie Alvarez over Gilbert Melendez. I don't think we've seen Eddie Alvarez like he wants to be seen in the UFC like he was in Bellator. Eddie Alvarez is good, and I feel terrible for this guy because he's had to come in and fight Donald Cerrone his first fight. Donald Cerrone is just on fire. There's a reason why he's number one in line for the lightweight title. Eddie Alvarez was not going to derail that train. I do think that Eddie Alvarez bounces back with his fight over Gilbert Melendez. I think it's a very good fight. I think it could look like a lot like Gilbert Melendez versus Diego Sanchez. At least that's what I'm hoping as far as a fan. If Melendez pulls it out, you won't see a look of shock on my face at all. I won't sit here next week saying, wow, where did that come from? You will hear me say that about Nate Marquardt if he does it. But Gilbert Melendez has just as much of a chance as Eddie Alvarez, but for my personal pick, I am picking Eddie Alvarez. And then finally, with the heavyweight title bout between Cain Velasquez and Fabricio Werdum, I have to go with Cain Velasquez. He is the heavyweight champion. He's battle-tested. You look at the people that he's beaten. I think he's going to make it... I don't want to say he's going to make it look easy, but I think he's going to show exactly why he is the undisputed heavyweight champion. Fabricio Werdum is very good. He's also fought a lot of people that have that name. He's beaten Fedor Emelianenko. But did he beat Fedor in his prime? I don't think so. Maybe he caught him on the tail end. I just don't see Werdum being able to beat Cain Velasquez. I think those guys at AKA have figured something out. I think that Cain Velasquez is just too good. He's on top of his game, and I honestly don't see a lot of people in that heavyweight division that are going to be able to challenge him. Maybe when he fights Ben Rothwell, I will think a little hard about it, because Ben Rothwell surprised the hell out of me this past weekend, and maybe he can do it again. But I just think right now, Cain Velasquez, if he can stay, he is his worst enemy in that heavyweight division. Because if he gets injured again and he's out for an extended amount of time, you have to strip him. I wanted him stripped when he didn't make the last fight. When they, instead of doing this interim title, strip him. It's just, it's too much. And I know that he's getting his injuries inside the cage, and it's not when he's practicing, but you got to stay healthy. And if you're not taking care of, if you're walking into that cage already beaten up, and yeah, you're pulling out the victory, but then you're just on the brink of breaking, and then you finally do inside that cage, now you're out for the next 6 months, and there's nobody defending that heavyweight title. So there's a lot of good fights at heavyweight that I want to see after this. I think after, as long as Velasquez Werdum ends in a solid way, I guess I can't think of the word that I want to use right now, but in a solid way, then I think that the next fight that makes sense is Andre Arlovski. A lot of people be like, he doesn't deserve it. You know, the UFC cut him, and he's lucky that they brought him back. And while I agree with that, he's a name. He is a name that people from the past will recognize. So I think that you have to give him that first shot. You have to give him one more shot. I know a lot of people, even before Arlovski won his last fight, I was hoping that Stipe was going to get it, because I do like Stipe Miocic, but he's still young enough that he can take another fight. Maybe Stipe versus Ben Rothwell as the lead-in fight for Velasquez versus Arlovski, so that way if something happens to one of those two guys, you have people there to fill in. So if Arlovski gets injured, then you can just put Stipe in there and then find somebody else to fight Rothwell, which I'm sure won't be too hard because Mark Hunt was still out there. If he's healed up enough, he did take a beating his last go around. But those are my picks right there. Gastelum over Marquardt, Alvarez over Melendez, and Cain Velasquez to retain and reclaim the undisputed status as the heavyweight champion. So that's it, guys. That's my first podcast. I totally expect to get beaten up for it. And that's okay, because this is exactly what I need. Episode number one. I want to be able to look back at episode number one and listen to it and be like, are you kidding me? That's what I can't even, how did I sound like that? So, but it's been about 34 minutes and I already feel a hell of a lot more comfortable than I did even just starting it. If I could start it all over again right now, I would. And it would probably come out even better. So, episode two. I'm expecting big things. It's going to be even better. So I hope that I did not turn you off, that you guys will come back and listen to episode two. That's it for Jump the Cage MMA podcast. Again, I'm your host, Dean DeRoach. I hope to have you guys back here listening next week, where I'll be able to go over the UFC 188 main card. Maybe we'll see something good on the prelims. You never know. I don't know what the topic's going to be, so hopefully something big happens in the MMA. If not, I'm ready to tackle this Reebok thing. Totally ready to tackle this Reebok thing, because it's all over all the MMA websites. Somebody else is talking about it. All these fighters are talking about it. So it's probably going to be about Reebok. I'm ready to talk about Reebok because it's coming. It's coming. I think it's going to sneak up on a lot of people, and then before you know it, you're no longer going to see that banner behind the fighter. All you're going to see is that triangle with the Reebok name right next to it. Everything else is going away. No more dip your car. No more... let's see, what are the other fun ones out there? No more spray on tan, like we saw Smile and Sam Alvey have the other day. God, that was too funny. So, all right, guys, until next time, I hope you enjoy the fights this weekend. And please, give me some feedback, positive, negative, whatever you have. I can take it. I need it. But just keep in mind, this is episode 1. So, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for listening.